Channel 1 over in continuation of the visit with Alma this Sunday, the 9th of June, 74. Channel 1 over in continuation of the visit with Alma this Sunday, the 9th of June, 74. Channel 1 over and a continuation of the visit with Alma this Sunday, the 9th of June, 74.
Now, last Friday night, I went with him and Diane and her young grandson, Nate. I didn't enjoy half as much as I did when me and him went out one day and did week after the Holiday Inn out from Lockwood. Now, that's, I don't mean to be selfish with that, but I just went down. I like just me and him. But you know what I don't understand? If I grow that young, it's going to be there with father. But now, when they get ready to go out, without me, they can only take them. Now, that's the key with me. Of course, they never have less than me at one time. Taking some of her people, if that's right. But I told her way back, never leave him or need him more. I said, now I've had enough. Guess I can't really take the hint. But I asked her then. Well, let me tell you how come it. I don't usually have a headache all the time, but I had the headache and lying down, and happened Tommy wasn't there. Well, her young and them other three, I called and I called him and I couldn't find him nowhere. So I went back and lay down and I thought, well, I just won't get out and hunt them. If they're out of hearing distance, let them leave, because my head hurts so bad I didn't want to get out in the sun. So when she came in, now they sleep just before she got to the house, they got in the yard playing. She works at the evening. So anyway, I said, don't never leave Timmy here and me anymore. I said, I called and I hunted and I said, nobody didn't answer me. One said this down there, but since where face there, fair waters used to be. A trailer right there joining it, I think, you know, right close to it. And one said this down there talking to Aunt Faye. And I said, well, I couldn't make you answer me. And I told him, yeah, I said, well, just don't never leave here no more with me. Well, that was just about 3 or 4 days after then, one night, 3 or 4 nights after. Cody come over there and he was going to come to the game and said, they'll pull off that night. Danny, how about leaving Timmy here an hour or two? I said, okay. See, she wouldn't ask me, so I told her not to, because she didn't tell you. People really knew how to get around. But after then, she got the mallet, and Faye had to teach him. He'd get off. A little while, the bus would run a little while, and then she'd be there a little while before she got off and go eat. Well, Faye would keep him. Well, then if she had to work on Saturday, she'd keep him, and she'd bellyache this time. She'd bellyache about having a pacemaker. Yeah. Well, I couldn't catch the hint.
No.
Oh, it was quick, and I fell out to him just free and never asked for him. So that
went.
I didn't have spoken no sir. And then I couldn't hear anything about, you know, about the billies and about the charges. So then it went on like that a while, and I reckon I just kind of understood the paint piece straight on the way. But I got tired of it when it was his first wife. She didn't do it often, but she mentioned something about this, Diane having a free babysitter. But Diane would like to explain it in my face, you know. So one day I'm not so sure, and I said, well, I ever sit there when I'm with. I said, then they tell me about, they call me the free babysitter. And I said, I'm tired for both of them. He said, well, I've stopped Diane free babysitting. He said, I don't have to do with Ann. So he missed eating me a whole week. He didn't eat with me at all. So now he comes to the door. James, I'm hungry. I'm on a sandwich. I want a chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk.
But now that's free.
Yeah.
But there's one there. Somebody's charging, you know. She bellyache all the time. But I don't know. I don't bellyache now. But one time, I'll not tell you, dear, but one time she said, while she was paying Faye, you know, she had to pay him, and she said that when she was out one time a week, she paid $15. And she had, if he stayed there an hour after he got off of the bus from school before she got in, then they kept up with every minute, paid it. She had to pay it. But anyway, one time, when it was a good while back, we got talking about the babysitting. I didn't know you'd eat back there. They kept on talking about the free babysitting, so I got tired of it. And I got the babysitting, both of them. But I told them, I said, I don't y'all want to get to me a while, and then talk about the free babysitting. But this, what I was going to tell them about, Diane said, oh, she had her feelings hurt so much after where she was. Listening to the point she brought out. Of course, it was just fine to me. She said, people was talking out there at different times. Said that one know who kept her child while she was at work, and said she paid a neighbor. Now, this is, said she paid a neighbor to keep her. And they'd say, well, Anne's children don't pay. She doesn't pay no babysitter to keep them. Oh, no, Granny wouldn't charge them a penny. So I got tired of it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, this, Granny. I said, next one of you suckers out there is telling you about the babysitting and putting me in. I said, you tell them to come talk to me. You don't know what to tell them. They never told them nothing else about them, the free babysitting.
Well, I tell you, they know a good thing when they've got it, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
What do you feed them?
Well, if I get lost, I don't feed them only for breakfast, toast, and then when they come in from school, you know, I have to give them sandwiches. I don't care what you got cooked.
Yeah.
But if I don't have peas in the freezer, I'll cook a big old pot of dry peas, and they'll eat on that, and they can cover it up. And then I cook a big old pot of lima beans and cornbread, and they won't eat boiled meat, of course. I fry them bacon.
Yeah.
Just such as that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, that sounds slightly familiar. Except you didn't mention any grits.
Well, they don't eat grits peanuts.
Well, that's awful. What do you do?
I have toast.
No grits?
I don't ever cook grits out there any longer. I reckon I cook too much for my brothers and Leo till I get along with that on for my part.
Well, I'll tell you, I had had grits all my life, a little dab. But I never really encountered the real eaters of grits till I saw Leo. And mine. I don't remember Harlow.
Oh, Harlow could eat more grits than anybody I've ever seen try. He could eat more.
Well, now you don't let me get it wrong. But now there, I'm not talking about breakfast or supper. I'm talking about dinner when you got all that other stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing Leo did was fill his plate up with grits. Is that wrong?
That's right. You know, his daddy had me to cook grits every day for dinner. I don't care what she had to cook. She had to cook that pot of grits, and Leo kept that up a long time. He'd want that pot of grits and eat about it. Well, he'd eat enough grits for two people and then he'd eat his dinner, best I remember.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's right. Now, he had a big plate and he just covered it with grits. What'd he do? I can't quite remember. Did he put the vegetables on it?
No, he'd eat grits and eat his dinner. No, he couldn't have put vegetables on that much grits. His plate wouldn't have held it.
Well, that's it.
That's true.
Well, now, he tried to have it fresh, but he didn't get to it every Saturday morning, but about every Saturday morning, he got his tractor going in that little mill out there, and he'd bring in fresh grits.
You know, actually, nobody never did miss with it. Red kept saying he was going to come over there and go, and somebody never did. And somebody borrowed that old belt from Cody, so but now they couldn't drive and they'd have to buy him a belt.
Yeah.
That was good grip. I know.
Yep.
Cody ought to held on to that because the system was there, all set up, ready to go. And you didn't have to, you know, you could have ground what you wanted.
Yeah. I don't know who he let borrow it. I didn't have nothing to do with it. But he got somebody barred. Now, you know what barring means.
Sure. Oh, that's a good bell. You see, that old John Deere, was that the first or the second one out in that part of the county?
I don't remember, but I think Leo said that them and one somebody else got one at the same time. Of course, they've been gone for years. I don't think the bones last long out in the old house.
Yeah. Well, everything the old had and Mr. Campbell had lasted.
Had to.
Well, you take that old wagon he had propped up out there in the shed.
I remember that. Yes.
You know, we used to have him long in laying that wagon. And Mr. Cameron couldn't hardly stand. Of course, he didn't buy the flashlight back here. I wouldn't have had it. But I'd take that flashlight, you know, when I was going to get eggs and hunt all everywhere up. You know, it was out of the old log barn. I'd hunt all them cracks. And he saw me one day. He way left on me in the house. He said, God almighty, Alma, what in the world was you doing out there with a flashlight in the broad open daytime? I said, hunting snakes. Well, if you're scared of them, why would you want to see them? I said, I want to see them before they do me. But he thought that was silly. It's like, that old man, he was like, don't see anything on that place. He wasn't afraid of a snake. So he said.
That real daddy? Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. He'd go out there and go in this place on that place he wanted to, and he didn't have no flashlight.
Was he about Leo's size?
Oh, no, he was as tall as you are, taller and much fatter than you are.
Well, how'd Leo get
such a run?
Such a run.
Well, he taken after his mother's people. Him and Gibby's baby brother, they're about the same size. And Mr. Cameron said that was, of course, I didn't know her people, you know, but then Mr. Cameron said that they taken after the Martins. But Leo had a disposition like his mother.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, yeah. You remember that Scooby house out there?
Yeah.
Well, there used to be a church out there a long time ago when all of us was young people. You know, we had church out there. And, of course, Ms. Camel's people used to live here.
That wasn't your home place over there, was it?
No, but I lived out there close to the road for years and years and then some. I lived on that side of it 15 years, and then I moved on that side about 15. So I did live right that close to it all the years. But anyway, they quit having church.
How did your sister get a hold of that land there, right in front of your place there?
Jep, at that time, was living when you knew about him. I reckon, I don't know.
No.
He bought that. And it was such a run-down old sort of way place. I don't know what he paid for it, but it's long and it must not have been much.
Yeah.
But the schoolhouse and an acre land belonged to the county. He bought that from the county. And he wanted to buy the old church house, and nobody wouldn't sell that. He said it was a shame to throw away an old church, old landmark like that. But Mr. Barney Cato kept pushing, and he got him moved some over there close to Gainesville, the Baptist Association, to give it to somebody.
Oh. But to use it. Yeah.
But we used to go out there regularly, and then they got to where they didn't. Well, I tell you, got too many big eyes and little ewes out there. And then they'd bust up a while, and then. Oh, Miss Camel, I know one time she was so sorry. She went, they didn't have sufficient lights. So she bought lights. I don't know where Miss Camel put them up. I don't know as I've ever seen in years and years. Little lamps and tack the frame upside the wall and have the lamp sitting up in that little brass frame.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, she bought lamps and fixed to have them. I don't know who put them up for them, it's not that. And some of them suckers would go there and bake those chimneys, you know, just a curiosity, I reckon. Well, she'd buy more and replace them. So then it got too modern for them. But taking up collection, bought great big old lanterns. But I don't know how they fixed it. I wouldn't fix one for a nickel. But they burn gasoline, but they'd pump on them, had to pump and pump and pump on them. Not me, I never did mess with them. I won't never close to them. That's why I didn't know just what they did to it. But if you're taking up somebody, taking up collection, I helped buy them, being off the rich. Well, then, after they quit, people talking about Mr. Proctor, he was a half preacher. He had the best lamps of anybody in the settlement. Well, I didn't know why. Trying to find out, he taking those lanterns to his house to take care of them, and he kept taking care of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep. But I used to see those Lewis boys right there when they were no Lonnie and Elmo and them. They were just little tiny boys. You remember when he used to wear them blouse knee breeches? The tassies, ugly things. Oh, that's what they were doing. Now, what, name them. What did they call them, old breeches?
No, no.
There's blouse gathered onto a band.
Bloomer.
Around.
Bloomer.
Knickers, I guess.
Yeah, knickers.
Anyway, that was the ugliest thing you ever put on.
Oh, they were.
And they weren't until it was big enough they ought to have been out plowing.
Yeah.
That's the truth. The boys, didn't boys that high wear them?
Yeah.
I got an old picture. It was a picture of the past come out in the paper, and I studied that. Of course, now these boys got grandchildren. But this year came out in the paper, they put old pictures of the past. And boys look like about this high, standing up there, them old bushes gathered up. Oh, how ugly.
Listen.
I'm going to call one of the men's daughters and ask her if she's got one of them. And I'll give her one. I cut mine out, and I'll get it to you if you want to. But now, you tell me, she helps her daddy tend the cows, so he's dead. And of course, she's got an interest in them. But you tell me that somebody's right hand, but that must be his right hand. Now, I think he's good to the boys, and I think he loves them. But there's just a different tone there when he talks about that girl from what he talked when he's talking about the boys. You know,
yeah.
I talk everything. I used to say when I was a child, they'd tell about this cousin to marry and that. And I'd say, well, when I grow up, I won't get married. If raise 8 or 10 girls, or say, or children, it'll all be girls. But I don't want 8 or 10 boys. Back when I grew up, I almost decided I didn't want to ever get married.
Huh? I was trying to think of something. You see, Debbie hadn't seen any of the people we're talking about. See, Hollow, he's just a nice looking fella. And Rio, he's a nice looking fella. He's a little tall at all.
And poor, he got to where, when you saw him, he's poor. He didn't weigh but 140 pounds, I think, when you didn't know him.
No, he wasn't very big. But you talk about somebody, you won't see anybody like him anytime soon, and that was Munch.
No, there never been another Munch.
Okay. And as far as I know, he didn't quit rattling from the time he got up in the morning.
Well, I told Fay about it. You don't believe it. He remarried.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lil said he couldn't understand Munch is married all about living by himself. And Lil said, well, he's over here so much that I don't see why he gets so tired. Well, I went to the hospital and stayed 18 days, and I come back and said, well, I know now how Munch felt about going in a dark house and nobody there.
Ah, yes, yeah.
I saw the marriage license, and they're supposed to be the same age, but she must have been 10 or 15 years older than Munch.
Mm. Oh.
But she turned 18 the same age as Munch, but
yeah.
She wasn't his age.
Yeah.
But strong. He couldn't get nobody, much like old fat lighted fire. Now, he didn't want to warm, he wanted to bake. Well, he couldn't get nobody to help him saw up some stumps. The little woman told him, it won't no use to hump, she could saw, and he said, you couldn't hold out to saw stumps. He said, old lady could hold out to saw stumps longer than he could.
I didn't know about that.
No, I think that was about a year after he quit going out there, I think.
Oh, you mean after I quit going out there, he remarried? Oh, Lord, well, good for him.
But, you know, I believe in a way, of course, he said she was a good cook. I don't know about that. I never did see any of it. He said she's pretty good cook. Only thing, she wouldn't get up in the morning, he'd have to cook breakfast.
Yeah.
I said, well, sir, well, it was third way around, and men had to cook breakfast for all them women. None of these women more than me. None of them didn't like to cook breakfast, I don't know. One said you couldn't burn that house down on that old woman got her up before you got breakfast down.
I'm trying to think about it. I guess I'm trying to think about it.
Well, you know, he used to be on one of us talk all the time. Yep, he used to be on one talk all the time. And I was just telling Faye and her mother that the older you get, the shabbier your mind gets, and the more you talk. That's true. Now, Gussie, though, didn't one of my sisters didn't have to get old. She was born and learned talking and been talking ever since.
Oh, really?
One time she said, after I started talking a lot, that was terrible. She said, Abby, you just talk too much. And I said, well, sure, I'm glad you can picture yourself. You think I talk a lot? I said, no, I don't think it. I know it. I said, people, you say you was noted for talking. I didn't know anybody ever talked about me.
Well,
Roger's
age wasn't hurting him.
No, but I don't reckon, but he's always pretty good talker.
Well, I knew him. His age didn't hurt him.
Not too much. Well, now I don't think he had too much till you weren't out there when he was operated on me. But anyway, you know his stomach was too big.
Yeah.
It kept getting bigger, and so, but that wasn't what the trouble was. But we didn't know it. Thought that was what it was, but it was his gallbladder. I don't know how he did that. Gallbladder already bursted when Cody got him to the hospital. Carried him over to Lake City. But then the outside of that, well, he's hard, he can tough as a knot or not, but
yeah.
The last year he lived, though, he got to complain about his knee to hurt him a lot.
Oh, I see.
But I think it was really good.
Yeah. But that gallbladder got
him. No, I listened, it was his appendix, excuse me, I said the wrong thing. He's had a great big potato patch down there with an old log barn. And he had fenced it in. But anyway, I don't know, I think he just started digging. I hadn't dug so awfully much. And I don't know whether this happened when he's there or not, but Harlow had a horse over there in Gus's pasture. So Munch had the horse there to plow up the potatoes. I don't know how long he'd been plowing, a few days, or I don't know about that. But anyway, he was supposed to be at work a good while. I don't know why I went out on the front, and he was lying down out there in front of that barn where the old Christian was. When I saw him lying down out there at the barn, and he had the bridle rein in his hand, I went out there, and I said, Munch, what in the world has happened to you? But I knew he wasn't dead before I got to him. I could see him move in his feet, you know. I said, what's happened to you? He said, his stomach hurt. I said, well, for gracious sakes, I said, why didn't you turn the horse loose and come to the house? He said, no, I'm going to lie down till my stomach gets better. And he said, I'm going to go back and plow some potatoes. That was right after dinner, you know, he hadn't started back to the potatoes. And I said, well, go to the house and lie down. I said, just put the horse in the lot and go back till you feel better. Nope, he's going to wait till your stomach quit hurt, and then he's going to go plow. But he didn't ever go back to plow. So he come in and lay down, and he was so unmercifully dirty, that old black, dry dirt. So I got a basin of water and kind of mopped him off a little bit, and apparently his stomach got better. So he got up and stood up there and talked quiet, and when Bill come in, I told him about Munch being sick. And Munch said, well, I said, he was all right. Well, we put in and out, talked him, made him spend the night, or I did. Well, I had an appointment with a doctor next morning, and one said he was going home, and I said, well, I'll stay home and go home with you then. And I said, if you don't stay here, I won't go to the doctor. And if you remember, got a dog, he's all the time saying,
yeah.
He said, well, God, doggone it, it wouldn't help you none to stay here. And I said, oh, yes, it would. I said, help my feelings. He said, well, he'll go home and shave. And I said, well, I'll go home with you when you go. And I said, then Milton come get me. No, if you've got to follow me, I'll just stay here. And I said, now, if we leave you here, you going to be here and I'll come back? He said, yeah. But he didn't look just right. Why? I thought he'd been up six long by himself. Well, when we came back from seeing the doctor, I said, if we won't go long. I said, Munch, if your stomach give you any trouble while I was gone? Nope. I doubted I could have been home and shaved and had a bath. And I said, well, I'll let you take a bath, yes, but I don't have no clean clothes. I don't remember where he went and got any clean clothes or Cody went and got them. I don't remember about that. Well, late that, no, Cody did go, but late that afternoon, just before time for Cody to get up, Cody worked the night, you know. Oh, he got so bad off. So he must have been suffering, because he told me to tell Cody to come down there and take him to the doctor. But I'm telling too fast the night before, eh? But he got better. Dr. Jude come out there. He had a light spell, and Lil had Dr. Jude come out there. And I thought it's cute why he wouldn't give him no pain medicine, because he's a regular dope peddler, I think, or used to be. He's retired now. He's about 80-something. But anyway, asked him. He said he used to give him something to relieve the pain, but he wouldn't go to the hospital, see? So the next day, seemed to be all right, he said. But that evening, when he got suffering so bad, he told me to tell Cody to come down there and take him to the hospital. But Dr. Hughes called, said he was going to call and make reservations in case Munch needed to go. He knew Munch was bad off, I reckon. Well, Munch, Harlow, and Mary Wilkes, and Cody Hart and Mary Wilkes, and carried him over there, and they put him in the hospital. And that was late in the afternoon, and they operated on him the next day. There was me and Gustin and Julie and Elva there, but Hamp didn't come. He had already operated on him, but he was asleep. Went in intensive care for Kevin. And Hamp got off, and Cody got off, and they stayed over there all night. But how come, say this, the doctor talked to her sister, said that he might have a 50-50 chance, see. But they said that appendix already bursted, you know. And said it might be that he'd stand a 50-50 chance to live. Well, then when Brother Hank came, we told him about it. So he got off from work and told him he stayed over there all night. But Munch didn't know this there. See, there's off in another room from him. And Munch said that sometime during the night, said he told the orderly, he said, well, all his people always gathered up in bunches, so said when he got ready sick, said there wouldn't be a one showed up, and said the orderly told him that we'd all been over there that day, you know, but he said he didn't mention it happened, so he was there. But however, I come home, me and Luda come home with Cody. And I reckon Hamp got off from work before he went. Anyway, Cody brought us home. And there's two old liquor stores in Firehook. I don't know, tell that chapter. And I said, it was good to come along there. Nobody had to stop. These girls don't know it, but you know, Harlow would stop where he went and do an hour. That was the only real failing he had. Too much.
And he just couldn't get over that. It was just constant. Right. And once he started, it was just too bad, wasn't it?
Too bad.
Well, I can't think of anything in particular about my suggested talk. You just have to listen to it and talk. That's all. That's the long and short of it.
I mean, he'd get out me talking so much.
Oh, he would?
Why, sure. I'm an asparagus, you talk too much.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'm not carrying news, Paul, no disturbance, so I don't guess no sin to talk. Well, they just talk too much. But Munch
Well, now, when did Munch set up in that little house down there? You know, out there in the sister's place. How long was he over there? When did he go over there?
I think he knew. Right on.
Had he been there very long?
Yeah, he left the years, but I don't know how long. But I don't know how long. Don't even remember when he first went there. That was a better house than where I live.
Oh, really? I didn't know
it was
that
much.
It was made something on that order. Well, that body part of it, you might say, was just like it, but it had a little covered porch. Wasn't that where he lived?
Yeah.
It had a covered porch and the kitchen joined on to that. But I don't remember how long he lived there.
Well, a good while.
Yeah. But after they both died, just as so. She said, well, she kept them a place to live as long as they needed it.
Yeah.
But one time it was kind of pitiful. You know, she paid all the electric bills and that belonged to her for both places.
Yeah.
So one day, my said, well, I lived electricity out there all these years. I think he'd sold potatoes or something. Augusta said he had a little money, he just couldn't keep it. And I think now, best I remember, he gave her a $10 bill, but she told him, she said, months after all these years, you're going to have to start paying me electric bills. Well, he had a little extra money, and he just, well, Augusta said he couldn't keep it, but anyway, he put it in the car. He just put it in that car and told her, don't to throw it out no more. And she said, when she come back, she said, now to show you how wrong I was, but letting you leave that money with me. She didn't leave it in the car, but she lost it. And she said, now that showed it was wrong for her to take it. Munch said, no, I didn't have nothing to do with it. She said, well, I didn't have no business to take it. I said, no, you had a little money, and you had to get rid of it, and then I had to take it. And she lost it, and she said, that last penny of rent she's ever going to pay, the electric bill or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think like that's bringing it back now. Munch would take Cody into town,
mm-hmm.
and they'd buy him.
Mm-hmm. That's where he started off, Cody's really young. He used to tell me he prayed for me to live here for to raise them boys, just had the two boys at that time. And he said he prayed for the Lord to spare me to help Cody to raise them little boys.
Uh-huh.
But Munch really loved him, really young.
And there was another. Cody wasn't the only one.
That was the only boy Munch had.
Yeah.
I
understand you used to feed her a lot.
I thought she was cute when she was little, just a young one like she used to go out there. But I can't never remember eating with her.
You put out a spread for me? I'll never forget it, I tell you that. Yes, sir, I remember the grits, and they were the best grits I ever ate.
You know, Cody's first wife was good eating, his last one was good eating. But that first one that said that the pot sister, great. She wasn't much of a, she liked cook good, but this last one liked them well enough. She would cook them and then clean the pot.
Yeah.
But you know, as they moved out in that trailer, now, to me, I wouldn't give 50 cents a piece for them, but she paid a little better than $300 for a set of pots. But there's better than any rabbit poor people are supposed to have. She'd had them a week or two, and I was over there one evening, cooking one, got one of old pots and went to the guy. I said, thought you said they wouldn't stick. Water all filled up in her eyes, and she said, well, it's sticking, and I had to change it over in the good pot. I said, I thought she was cooking it in the good pot. She said, no, it'd be in the expensive pot. About another time I was over there and she's kind of cooking, her eyes all lit up with water. I said, what do you got to fry and cook for? That damned old pot went and struck something over to it. I said, that's going to help it. I said, why don't you get out your good pots and cook in? Just kidding. But after I found out she's too mad, I quit. Oh, she's so mad. She had her money back. She'd never buy another damn pot as long as she lived. That's one objection to it. She better like stay down. And she paid little over $300 for them pots and then empty herself out of them in her old pots to cook. Oh, that makes her mad. But they are not as good as her old pots now, and she paid a little better than $300 for them.
That's a good price.
That's not your sister. That was Diane. Totally fine.
It'd break my heart to pay $300 for a bunch of pots.
And then she'd empty it out in her old pots and her eyes would be filled up with water. She couldn't hardly talk.
You know something? These two are going out and ride a horse, and Guy's going to take you back to the pasture.
Well,
you like to ride a horse.
I'm child, I never rode but a few times in my life, and I was so scared I was just trembling so I still got off of the horse.
Alma,
no.
I didn't think you scared
of
anything.
I'm scared of any kind of stock. Mr. Campbell used to say, God almighty, Alma never seen anybody tote a club for a milk cow. I never did hit my cow. But I have an axe hound, a hoe hound, whatever was convenient. I had me a good club.
Even for a milk cow?
Oh, yeah. I never went to a cow to milk in my life. I had me a hound about that long, and I kept that dab of the gate. I never did hit my cow, but in case I knew that I had it.
Did she ever hit you with the back leg?
Nope. I didn't have that kind. I wouldn't have it. I had one, a yearling one time, a kick. And I don't know, I could do wonders. And I made a break to put her in. And Harlow come along. I took feed and she'd go in. That's all I had to do. And I had a thing in the bar, I reckon you saw it put there. Never did put up that bar. Harlow said, what in the hell are you trying to do? I said, I have to put her in there to milk. He said, will she kick? I said, yeah. Well, he said, that's too nice cow for me to mess up, man. I said, well, I don't want you to mess with it because you were running. Went on evening to him. He was at him sometime to milk. And he said, give him. I started going to milk. He said, give him the bucket. I said, I don't want you to. I said, you can beat my cow down. Nope, I won't hit her leg. Fell in the bucket. He put her in the chute where they put stock in the loading and shut the gate with feet. Oh, it was about big as this room. So he told me in there for a while. I said, well, I didn't hear you beating my cow. I said, you kept your word. He said, I told you I wasn't going to beat it. Well, the next morning when he had stomped the hide off her, hair hiding all off of her feet, around both hind feet. So when he came in, I said, I see why you didn't beat her. I said, you had to stomp her to death. He said, she could kick, you know. So the next morning, I went out there, and he told me, she's not going to kick you. But I opened the gate, and let her go to shoot. Tried to feed in there. So she backed out. I went there, and you never did all that kick, you know. But Harlow stunk the hell up over her feet. I couldn't have done that, but he did. He said he knew if he beat her, I'd hear that and I'd come out fast. So. But you know, Harlow didn't even kind of scare me, but his pasture was better than mine. So my old milk cow was dry and she was getting poor every day. And I was buying feed for her. So he told me, no, she let him take her over there. And I reckon the truck, after he got out of it, I reckon it rolled a little bit, left track about that big between his chute and his tractor. You see everything, the truck. But I was blown to one, I seen it, you know, back up like that. But anyway, I told him, I said, oh, just get you a nub in a corner or something other, and she'll follow you. He said, you do it. He knew I wasn't going to be in that truck and let her follow me in there. So he picked up something and told her to come on. She followed him just like a little young. And
And then he stepped aside and she squeezed by him, started going in there. No, he didn't. That's another cat. She started to go and step, and both feet went right down through that hole, and I could see her broke all the pieces, you know. Well, I thought Cody'd have to, Carlo'd have to, when he'd get around, and have to move the truck, you know, and then she'd fall out and get killed. I could see everything wrong. But long in Harlow's a man. He stooped down and picked that cow's front feet up. She never offered to do a thing a bit more than a baby. And I called a butthead and he talked to her. Of course, if he hadn't been case tight and deadly knew, he'd made like he was going to kill her, you know. So he just stooped down, lifted her, and she didn't offer to do a thing. He told her just talk his knife to her, you know. She didn't even rare and didn't move. And he said, no, I just before having a fit. He just stooped down, picked that cow's front part up, put him up there. She walked on up in the truck, and he said, I told you it wasn't no job. I said, no, but I thought it was.
Well, now, let me see. She was coming up the chute and going over into the truck. And had a little gap in there.
That's right.
And she got one foot in there and the other one went with
no,
her.
Both feet. Yeah, both feet went down in there. When I saw it, both feet was down in there. I don't know, but I reckon that truck moved after he got out of taking his foot off the brake, because it belonged to fit right up with his shoe.
Sure.
But you see, it just know about like that, and both front feet just went down in there. But that didn't scare me about it.
And he reached down there and lifted that front end of that cow.
That's the truth if I've ever told it.
Well, it's not altogether the weight. It's weight enough, but you can't get a hold of them.
Well, he got hold of that cow and lifted her up, and she still never did offer to move, and I was so scared. I could see all her legs broke off and everything.
Oh, it scared me to death.
But that didn't scare me enough. After all that fracas was over, he had a piece of canvas. Now, he didn't try to put on me. But he didn't want the cow in there with it, and he picked up, and the wind spread it out right there by me. I never forget that. I was scared in a fit, and that the canvas couldn't do nothing to me. I don't know why it scared me.
Yeah.
But anyway, he said, he used to call me Aunt Donna lots. Nobody was around. He said, God damn, Aunt Donna. He said, I didn't mean to kid you. He said, I thought again you didn't die from that cow stepping in there off of that chute. He said, I thought I'd try you out, but I didn't know I was going to kill you. He told Leo, said, I could have cut her throat, and she wouldn't bled a drop. And said, just standing there shaking all over. Leo wouldn't say a word.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know Harlow. He was a man, wasn't he?
Harlow was much of a man before he had that last throat. Now, he had infantile paralysis when he was about a year old.
Oh, I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, but that didn't interfere with his strength or his appetite or nothing like that.
No.
And he just worked when he wanted to.
When he wanted to. And if he didn't want to, he didn't do it.
And that was way back. How far along was it before they got any money in the family, you all?
Well, you know, to start off with, my daddy owned a nice big plantation.
Oh, yeah.
And a swamp of timber. But my oldest brother seems to that soon disappeared. And then, and since we never have had nothing.
Until Gussie married the Serpentine man?
Well, now Elvis got a good living in Judy, but they didn't. Well, now Jap had his and Gussie married him, that's right. But Otis was a poor man when he ever married him. You know what he done?
Well, I know, but just having somebody next door to you, see, like your sister, who's pretty well too, that'll keep you out of the poorhouse, you know. I mean, it'll give you a little something to go on.
No, I lived better before I lived on Jesse's place, and I didn't want to live there. But I didn't have as much worry on her place. I didn't have as many free boarders. That's right. But I really fared better, but that's the first time I've ever told that. But I couldn't have as many free boarders as I did when I didn't live there.
I didn't quite get that. Did you get it? You understand what I'm saying?
No. Your free board is when you lived on Gus's place.
No, I didn't have his money.
I see.
Well, now, I ought not tell this, and Harlow's gone, but one special time, but it had more than one time. One morning I was on the back porch shelling peas. Him and three more bombers come out.
Yeah.
And each one of them's hair looked like they'd driven to a brush stop. And
yeah.
Old nigga woman had brought me some berries. She didn't say nothing as it lived. She said, "Miss Alma, what did Mr. Harlow tell you that redhead man was named?" And I said, "Beauty." She said, "Lord, I know that boy's mother loved him." I said, "Why would you think that she'd be partial to him?" "Miss Alma, nobody but your mother couldn't love you for that ugly." But now, he wasn't that ugly, it's just what he'd been doing, and I have an idea.
Yeah.
I asked him about coffee. No, they didn't want no breakfast, and they didn't want coffee. But I never looked at that old nigga woman and thought he was an ugly son. But that was just one Sunday morning, but I had that a lot of times.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And about the time I couldn't stand no more of that. Now, Munch wouldn't get drunk, but he could pick up the most old bums of anybody.
Munch good?
Oh, when he was a younger man, he would bring old bums there to eat. But I didn't have no better sense.
That was his place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd just pick up one old bum.
That's where you had the free boarders.
But after my mother died, I couldn't beat him if I'd wanted to, but I should have beat him down the back. There's no man who lived close to us. Now, him and Munch was good buddies. He's lots older than Munch, but he is bum. So one Sunday evening, I hardly went with Munch anyway, but I don't know where he was going, but he put in for me to go with him. And I said, "Munch, you pick up too many riders." "No, if you go, I won't pick them up." We hadn't left that house, I don't believe, over a quarter of a mile before we stopped and got that old man nobody but him could stand. So, got that old man in there. But what whipped me, he told me to move over, and I had to sit between him and this old man. They talked back and forth. Well, that was the longest ride I'd had in a long time. But Munch couldn't stay for that old man, but after he dropped the old man off, and then I went, he said, "How do you treat the old man like a block of ice?" He said, "When you answer direct and not another word." And I said, "That's fine." I said, "If I'd have had the opportunity," I said, "I'd have got out and walked back to the house." I said, "I'm never going to ride him more." "Aw." But that wasn't no harm. I said, "No, but I didn't want to ride with him." I said, "I was afraid somebody would come along and think I wanted to ride with him." But I don't guess that it was decent. I don't know about that. But
yeah.
Haven't you been around people that knew more than anybody in the county?
Yeah.
Well, this old man knew more than you couldn't. Which I didn't talk much then, but Munch is a talker.
Well, you don't know anybody like that anymore.
Oh, yes, I do. I wouldn't want her to know I said it to Doug, but say it. Diane. You can't mention nothing that she can't tell you just how it happened, when it happened, and what caused it.
You mean at that age?
Yeah, she's 20-something years old.
Well, I thought they had to get on up and eat a little bit before they know so much.
I wouldn't want her to know. She tries to be extra good to me. Now, I ought not to say it to her back, but I say it to her face. But I don't mind saying that, but you know I don't like to say it all. Sometimes I'll say, "Well, Diane, what do you tell me so-and-so for?" I said, "You know more than anybody I've ever seen. Well, it's the truth, so-and-so and so."
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
And his first poor wife was just about as dumb as I am. She didn't know. She didn't ever have to tell me everything, because she didn't know everything.
Yeah. Well, what was she? She just sweet or something?
Anne, the first one?
Uh-huh.
Well, sometimes she wasn't, sometimes she wasn't very sweet.
Yeah.
This is not smart, but if I didn't know y'all, I wouldn't even say this. But if she was as nice to women as she was to the men, she'd have been much, much nicer person. Now, that's ugly to say about anybody.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, one trouble with Cody is he's been a pretty good-looking fella, and he attracts all sorts of people around him.
Well, before he got old enough to even attract him, Herbert Wilson's sister used to say, oh, when Cody grows up, said all them girls be hanging on him, said he won't never have to hunt one.
Yeah. That's right. Well, who did he take after?
I wouldn't know.
He didn't take after his daddy.
He sure didn't. Nope. Nope, I don't know where Cody got his from.
Well, they can get him, they can take after their aunt or their uncle.
I imagine Alma would like to move around just a little bit.
Yep, I think we better walk around a little bit.
Yeah.
Let the girls go ride all the horses they want to.
Well, they won't go. They'll ride so you can see them.
That's all right. I don't have to see them. I don't ride horses.
We can ride right up to your front.
Oh, okay.
Right up to your face.
You know what I said a while ago when I first got here?
I went over on the south, and that's a break, and the break is right at 3, somewhere between 3 and 3:30. And then Mr. Honeyman comes up, Mr. Paramore, with Honey, and he gives a face up for Mamu. And I walk out there with Alma to see him, and so he gives her a little bit. And they are still out there talking. Alma, she's just as big as you please, just talking just as big as you please out there. And this is about 1,000 channel one over. And this is a break at around 3:30.